Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel in Matthew 25. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. This is God's word. This morning we prepare to feast. I'm not talking about whether we do a 20-pound turkey or a 12-pound turkey or a side of entree of turkey from the deli at the grocery store because we're by ourselves this year. I'm not talking about how much mashed potatoes you need to make for Thursday. There is a greater feast for which we prepare. We prepare like the five wise virgins who kept their lamps filled with oil. Now, this is an image that's not real common in our day. The idea of these 10 women waiting around for a bridegroom to arrive, to enter into the feast with him. But we know that when the bridegroom is spoken of in the Bible, it's talking about Jesus. These 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, are a picture of the church waiting for our Lord to come in the night. And we're in the night right now. We wait for our Lord Jesus to come, and Jesus is like a bridegroom because he is the ultimate husband. He's a husband to his bride, the church. He's the husband who gives himself in love and service to his wife, to his bride, to his beloved. So when you read the Bible talk about marriage, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul gives instructions for wives and for husbands, Paul connects it to Jesus. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Our bridegroom, our heavenly husband, Jesus, presents us to his Father as without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He presents us as holy and without blemish. And he lays down his life upon the cross that we might be presented to the Father this way. So we prepare, because he is coming, and we prepare with oil in our lamps. Now, in those days, you carried a lamp with you with oil because there were, of course, no street lights. And if you were going to be out in the dark, you would want a lamp. If you're going to be in the dark for some time, you would bring extra oil to make sure your lamp stayed lit. Jesus tells us 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. In the same way, the church is filled with people who are both wise and both foolish. We want to be among the wise. We want to have oil in our lamps. Because when the bridegroom comes to bring his church to his feast, it'll be a moment of joy and light and celebration for those who are prepared. But it will be darkness and sorrow and weeping for those who are not. We live in the middle of the night and the bridegroom is coming. So what is the oil that Jesus wants us to have to keep our lamps lit in this world of darkness? Well, let's look at our epistle for this morning from 1 Thessalonians 5, where St. Paul says, those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. God wants us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's our oil, salvation in Christ, the message of the cross, him who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. That's where we find salvation of our bodies and souls, in the cross of Jesus Christ. The bridegroom calls for you to prepare yourself to have your lamps filled with the good news that he, your loving bridegroom, has taken away your sin with his blood. Again, when Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, notice that Jesus did indeed love his church by giving his life to make us spotless, holy, without blemish. That's what a good bridegroom does. He is prepared to die for his bride. He is concerned about her purity. Jesus is that type of bridegroom. He purifies his church in the waters of baptism. He gives us holiness when our sins are absolved. He gives us all of himself, body and blood, in the bread and wine given to us from his table. That, dear friends, is our oil. That's what keeps our lamps lit. That's how we're prepared for Christ to come again. When Jesus gives us grace and love and forgiveness and salvation and compassion in his gifts. He does it because he loves his bride like no one else. He wants to share with her his gifts. A lot has gotten in the way of receiving those gifts, not just in 2020, but in all throughout the history of the church. Things get in the way. But God grant that we are never without oil, that we are never unprepared, because you can't count on someone else to prepare for you. You can't get into the wedding feast based on someone else's oil. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. But it was too late for them. We prepare for the bridegroom to come by having sins forgiven. And you have that forgiveness. We prepare for the bridegroom to come when we gather at his table. And you come to that table this morning, where the cross of Jesus is given to you by the bridegroom who loves you like no other. So prepare yourself. Wait for your bridegroom. Prepare and wait for his arrival when he comes with power and glory on the last day. He has enough oil for your lamp so that you can overcome the darkness of this world of evil. He has enough oil because he is the source of the oil. He is the source of life and salvation. And when sins are forgiven, when body and blood are given out to the people of God, these things flow from Jesus himself, the bridegroom who loves you and gives himself for you. He prepares for you a seat at the wedding feast. Not just any seat, but the seat of honor. Because you, dear friends, are his beloved bride. This week there is a lot of lamenting over how Thanksgiving plans have changed for many people. A lot of people will stay away from family gatherings to avoid sickness. And though we lament how much is uncertain right now, this is still an opportunity for us to reflect. You know, the things that I enjoy the most about Thanksgiving, well, look at me, food, family, and rest. Those are the things I look forward to each year. I mean, you could add in the Detroit Lions playing disappointing football. That's kind of a constant. But no, food, family, and rest. When we feast in this world, we anticipate the greater feast. It is not wrong to feast and celebrate. Some people would guilt you if you get together and eat too much turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie and sweet potatoes, whatever you're going to have at your meal. They would say that that's greed, or that's, you know, somehow being wasteful. There is something good and right about feasting, because when we feast on the good things of this earth, it points us to the greater feast that awaits us. Now, I told you with Thanksgiving, I enjoy the food and the family and the chance to rest. And are not all those things that await us at the greater feast, the wedding feast of the great bridegroom and his bride, the church? Does he not promise us food? Does he not even give us that food this morning and bread and wine that we may feast on him, that he may give us life? Is not our eternity in heaven a family where we are with brothers and sisters in Christ, even as we are here this morning with brothers and sisters in Christ? And is not our eternal feast with Christ a rest from our labors of sin and guilt and shame and weariness in this darkened world? Not only do all those things await us in the wedding feast of the Lamb on the last day, they're all given to us today as we come to the feast he's laid out before us. So you might not have much of a Thanksgiving feast this year, but take heart. There's a greater feast coming. And you're ready. You're prepared. Your lamps are filled with oil. Your sins have been forgiven. And you come to taste that feast today, to receive your bridegroom who gives all of himself for you. Dear friends in Jesus, stay prepared. Keep those lamps full. Keep that light burning. Because the one who will come to you on the last day is the one who loves you with a perfect love, a love revealed in his cross. And he's the same one who invites you to taste his love today. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.